Pleasure to be back here in Baltimore again, at Kingsville Pilgrim. And let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings. We're going to take a break from Revelation this week, since we're having communion, and we saw Revelation last week. So we will go to 2 Kings chapter 22. Check 2 Kings chapter 22. And we'll start reading with verse 1. 2 Kings 22 and verse 1. We're going to look at Josiah. Josiah today. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord, we pray that thou would bless as we study thy word. Help us to learn something from the life of Josiah and from Israel at this time. And O Lord, help us to be prepared for communion this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we read in our responsive reading, this was the greatest Passover that was ever celebrated in Israel, was done here with Josiah, at least after the time of Moses. And Josiah was the last good king of Israel and Judah. He was a revival there at the time of the end for Judah. And we're told that he reigned 31 years. He was 39 years old when he died. Do you know of anybody else that died at 39? Well, Stonewall Jackson. I'm just reading his story about him right now. And anyway, he died at 39 as well. 39, that's pretty young. But these people were able to do a lot in their relatively short life. And so here we have Josiah. We're told there in verse 2 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remember, that's how I defined a fundamentalist. I think I said that last week. He's one that tries to stick on the straight and narrow way and not go to the right or go to the left. Even a little bit, he tries. And we're told here that Josiah succeeded. He succeeded in not turning to the right hand or to the left. He decided it wasn't okay to turn a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left. It's not all that important to obey everything. But he walked in all the way of David, his father. Let's skip down to verse 8. Verse 8. Here in the reign of Josiah. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law of the Lord in the house of the Lord. The book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and to read it. So here we have, they found the book of the law of the Lord in the house of God. It looks like the book, the law of the Lord, had been lost. That nobody had been looking at it, nobody had been reading it. It was lost. They had been going through the motions and all their sacrifices and all those things. But they had forgotten about God's word. And here they found God's word. And then we go over there to verse 10. Verse 10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azahiah the servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. And so they found God's word. And so we're looking here this morning at why was the Passover with Josiah the greatest one ever celebrated? Why? Well, first of all, they went to God's word. They went to God's word. They found God's word. They tried to obey God's word. And they found it. And the king ripped apart his clothes. He was very upset by what he heard from God's law, because they had not kept God's law. And so he repented of his sin. And the people were repenting of their sin. So they found God's word. They repented of their sin. And then they went to prayer. And they said, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people in all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found." And so they went to prayer before the Lord after they found God's word. And of course, in God's word, God speaks to us. And in prayer, we speak to God. And they went to prayer. Then let's skip down. Skip down to verse 18. "But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord." And of course, he rent his clothes, he ripped his clothes apart. That was a sign of mourning and of being upset back in those days. And so he humbled himself before the Lord. And then here it says, this is a message that's being given. And it's interesting, in line with our Sunday school message this morning. This message was given to a woman, to Huldah the prophetess, just a couple verses before this. And many people have looked at this and said, "Oh, well, that justifies women preachers. You know, we have hold of the prophetess, and she got the message from the Lord." Well, you know, God sometimes makes exceptions to the rule. And God will speak to people that you really wouldn't think he should speak to, or do things in a way you wouldn't think he would do things. And we mentioned this morning in Sunday school, the Witch of Endor. God spoke through the Witch of Endor, even though that didn't say that the Witch of Endor was good. God spoke through Huldah the prophetess, but that doesn't mean that women should be preachers. Prophet and prophetess in the Bible basically mean to speak forth the word of God. And she was a person that spoke forth the word of God. God used her here to give a message to Josiah and to the people there. And that was an exception to the rule. The rule is only men were supposed to be priests. Only men were supposed to be Levites in the temple. Only men are supposed to be preachers and elders in the church. But there's a couple exceptions to the rule in the Bible. And the exceptions do not disprove the rule. And there are a couple of exceptions, and this is one with Huldah the prophetess given this message here. But it's very clear in Scripture, God says that the men should be doing those things. And so she gave this message, and Josiah had humbled himself, he had rent his clothes, had wept before the Lord, and the Lord had heard him. So he humbled himself before the Lord, he got God's word, he repented, he humbled himself, prayed. And then we go on down to chapter 23 in verse 2. "And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which were found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant." So here they had a covenant. What's a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two parties. And here we have this covenant between the people and the Lord. This covenant, a promise. And they promised to serve the Lord. So they repented of their sin, they humbled themselves, and then they promised to serve the Lord. That's all those things are things that we should do today. We should go to God's word, we should repent of our sin, humble ourselves, pray, and promise to serve the Lord. And so they made a covenant before the Lord. You know, we as Presbyterians, we believe in something called covenant theology, that there are covenants all through history. And there's a covenant with David, a covenant with Moses, all these different covenants that tie together the Bible. And here is another covenant that was made here, Josiah and the people with the Lord. Covenants, promises. Well, then what did Josiah and the people do? They had prayed, they had promised, they had repented. What comes next? Well, what comes next in the language of Vietnam is they were going on a search and destroy mission. And they went on a search and destroy mission throughout all the land. Search for sin and destroy it. And they really went on quite a mission here. And so we have verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethlehem. The Kidron was trash dump there in Jerusalem where it was a continual burning there. Of the trash. That's what they used to do in Cameroon. They used to burn the trash over there, and they had piles of it, and it would always be lit on fire. And that's what they did in Israel, too. And so they burned these idols and idol worship beyond Jerusalem. Then you go down to verse 5, and he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. They had all this idol worship going on there. And he put down those idolatrous priests. He burned all their stuff. Verse 6, and he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem, under the brook Kidron again, to the dump, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Josiah, he really went to town here. He went everywhere, searching and destroying. And verse 7, and he brake down the houses of the Sodomites. Did he give equal rights to the Sodomites? Did he... like to favor them. Unfortunately, you know, we have some conservatives running for office next week here in America, and our president, I might mention, in fact, and they're conservative in a lot of things, but they really are not very conservative when it comes to the Sodomites. But here, Sodomites are not allowed. And they were not allowed in Israel. And they weren't allowed in just about all over the world until very recently. And, you know, even today in Cameroon, it's a crime to be a Sodomite. But the U.S. is putting all the pressure they can on Cameroon and all the countries that still outlaw LGBTQ. But anyway, here we have, he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. And you know, Sodomites can get saved, and we should show them love, that we show the love to everybody, but we can't say that what they do is okay. It's not okay. And he break down their houses that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And you can go on and on through here. We won't go through it all, but he really went all over like a whirlwind, Josiah, and there was plenty to destroy there. And plenty to find. And he was searching out and destroying. Just like they did in Vietnam with the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese army there. And then we go down to verse 15. Verse 15. And we read this in the responsive reading a little bit earlier, or at least most of this here. Not 15, but we started with 16. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel in the high place, which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. I mean, he was a whirlwind. He went even out of the Judah proper. He went to the old altar at Bethel that Jeroboam had made. And all through the Old Testament, it talked about Jeroboam who had made Israel to sin by this altar and idol he had made. And so Josiah finally goes there and breaks it down and burns it up. And he just went like a whirlwind through there, through the land of Israel. Then verse 16, and as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed to proclaim these words. Well, you know, here we have Josiah. How did he profane the false altars? How did he profane them? Well, he burned men's bones upon them. What do you do with cremation? With cremation, you burn men's bones. And this here was an act of desecration, an act of pollution, burning men's bones. And you know, you say, well, cremation is no big deal because the body rots anyway. Of course, the bones can last an awful long time, for one thing. But the other thing is if we cremate, we are actively destroying the body. Whereas if we just let nature take its course, it's somewhat different. And so here we have a Josiah desecrated the false altar. And then we have verse 17. Then he said, what title is that that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, I preached a sermon here about this man of God going and confronting Jeroboam, crying against the altar, and he was a fundamentalist, that man of God, crying against the false altar. And remember, he was not supposed to go back by the same way he came. He was not supposed to eat or drink, and he ate and drank. He believed this other prophet, which he shouldn't have believed him, believed another Christian. And so a lion came and met him in the way and killed him. Well, you remember that story. Well, anyway, it's a true story. But anyway, that prophet had proclaimed that Josiah, by name, would come a long time afterward and burn up that altar and burn men's bones upon it. And how was that fulfilled? That was filled exactly, all the jots and tittles, exactly as it was prophesied. How does God fulfill his prophecy? How does he fulfill the book of Revelation? Literally. All through the Bible you see that prophecy is performed literally, is fulfilled literally. And here this was fulfilled very literally by Josiah here. And then let's skip down to verse 20. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. So he had his big mission. He had destroyed all the sin he could find, all the sinful things he could find. And he returned to Jerusalem. And verse 21, then, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Keep the Passover. And so what did they do at the Passover? They remembered when God had passed over the children of Israel and hadn't killed all the firstborn of Israel back in Egypt. And they remembered that with the Passover. What are we doing with communion today? With communion today, we are remembering Christ's death upon the cross and what he did for us. And the New Testament equivalent of the Passover is communion. And so as they kept this Passover, they wanted to keep it as it is written in the book of the covenant. How are we supposed to worship God? As it is written. As it is written. We don't just worship God any which way but loose. We don't do that. We worship God as it is written. And then some people say, oh, well, you know, hey, it never says in the Bible how you're supposed to worship God. But it does. It says we're supposed to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're also supposed to worship him reverently, in reverence. And we're supposed to worship him not keeping to this sinful world. And, well, the worship today, so much of it is worship in the flesh according to this world. And, you know, the old rock bands of the past, they're now the new rock bands of the churches today. And there's no difference, pretty much. Except they put a little different words to the same type of music. And so, anyway, keep the Passover as it is written. As it is written. And they did that. And then the commentary here is in verse 22. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. How long of a period of time was that? That was 800 years. For 800 years since Moses, all the way here to the end of the history of Israel and Judah, 800 years, they had not held as good a Passover as was held with Josiah. And what made this such a good Passover? Well, they went to God's word. They repented of their sin. They humbled themselves before God. They prayed. They promised to serve the Lord. And they went on a search and destroy mission and destroyed all the sin out of the land. As we come to communion today, what should we do? All those very same things. We should go to God's word. We should repent. We should humble ourselves. We should pray. We should promise to serve the Lord. And then we need to look at our lives on a search and destroy mission and find anything in our lives that is not right before the Lord and destroy that. And, you know, we read that scripture at the beginning this morning, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And the sin does so easily beset us. It is so easy to fall into sin. And we need to look for those sins in our lives and get rid of them before the Lord. Now, we're not going to be perfect, again, in this life, but we're trying to be perfect. And we don't want to be holding back any sin and say, well, I'm going to get rid of all the sin, but not that one. We want to try to get rid of all of our sin before the Lord. And then we go down to verse 25. And like unto him, unto Josiah, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. And so Josiah had a great commentary there. And he had turned to the Lord more with his whole heart than any other king, even including David, including all of them. There had been none that had turned to the Lord like David. And you notice he turned to all the law of Moses. He didn't decide, well, you know, there's some commands that really aren't very important, and I really don't need to keep those commands. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians do that. They think, well, that's really not a very important command. That's not important. We don't have to do that. But it says all the law of Moses. If it's a command of God, it's important. Some commands are more important than other commands, but they're all important before the Lord. And that's what a fundamentalist wants to do, Not go to the right, not go to the left. Try to keep all the law of Moses. And then we go down finally to verse 29. Here is a little fitting in of Josiah with the book of Revelation in verse 29. In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. The Pharaoh slew Josiah. And, it's kind of like with Stonewall Jackson. Why did Stonewall Jackson die there right before Gettysburg in the middle of the Civil War? Well, one reason, we're told back in Isaiah, why do good men die? They're taken away from the evil to come. And Jackson was taken away from the evil to come, and so was Josiah. Josiah was taken away from the evil to come at 39 there. And for some reason, it was put in his heart to go out by himself against Egypt, against Pharaoh. And the battle was there at Megiddo. And Pharaoh was going toward the river Euphrates. And what do we have there in Revelation 16 that we just saw last week? The river Euphrates is dried up to prepare the way of the kings of the earth, kings of the east, to come to Armageddon. And Armageddon is what? It's the Valley of Megiddo. And so we have the Euphrates and Megiddo here with Josiah, and that's in Revelation 16 at the time of the end. They go across Euphrates to get to Megiddo, and Megiddo was a crossroads there, a valley, the way where the road went, where it was an easy way to go through the road. And it was a crossroads, and it was a place of many battles, and it'll be the place of the big battle at the end. Well, he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. And Josiah was taken away from the evil to come. And that was all according to God's providence. But Josiah was a great king of Israel, the last good one. And he turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul. Well, let's come to communion today. And let us be like Josiah and like Israel. Let us repent of all of our sin. Let's look for the sin that's in our lives and get rid of it. And let's turn to the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. Well, you know, the Lord has instituted communion, that we remember his death upon the cross. And you know, we're looking back now to Jesus' death. In the millennium, I believe that the Millennium Temple is in Ezekiel 40 to 48, and that mentions sacrifices during the millennium. And some people mention that as an insuperable objection to premillennialism, that you can't have premillennialism because you're going to have sacrifices in the millennium. But that's just, they would just be to look back to Jesus' death, just as communion is looking back to Jesus' death today. The sacrifices before Jesus were looking forward to his death, and they will look back in the future. And communion today looks back to his death, remembers Christ's death on the cross, his blood shed for our sins, and we need his blessing. We need this communion, and let only those that are sorry for their sin come to communion this morning. And it's not a shame to not partake of communion. If you don't want to partake, that's all right. But we don't have to be perfect either to partake of communion. We just want to be perfect and try to be perfect before the Lord. Well, let's bow in prayer. O Lord, we pray that thou bless these thoughts to our hearts. And O Lord, help us to be like Josiah. In Jesus' name, amen.